Okay. Okay, so today we're continuing on with Meleches Tochen. Mitzvah Hashem will finish it up today, and then next week we'll be up to Lush. I might have made a mistake last time, but Tochen is actually our eighth Melech in the Siddur de Pas. I think I made a mistake because we're skipping Merakid, because Merakid is included in Borer and Zorah, so I miscalculated it. But okay, but anyways, so... Fine. So Tochen, last time we met, we set down the basic principles of Tochen. We saw that anytime you pulverize something, you grind something up, so that is a potential issue of Tochen. Also, cutting something up into small pieces, we saw, was also an issue of Tochen, depending on the exact situation. And today, so we're now going to finish up Melachas Tochen by discussing three basic qualifications to Tochen. That's going to be the agenda for today, to finish up Melachas Tochen. Okay, so let's start with qualification number one. Okay, so this qualification we once touched upon, but now we're going to analyze it from another angle. The issue is as follows. We know that we learned Meleches Borer, so there's a heter to do Borer for immediate use. If right after you separate a mixture, you use the stuff, so Borer became permissible. And the question becomes, can we apply the heter of miyad to tochen as well? So that's the big issue that comes up. So we're going to have a basic machlokas in the mefarshim on this issue between the Rashba on the one hand versus the Shilta Giburim and perhaps many other Rishonim on the other hand. So that's the agenda for now. So let's spell it out. Starting with the sheet of the Rashba. So the Rashba in the Shilas and Shuvas, which is brought down by the Beis Yosef from the Mar Mekomos, says that there's going to be a heter of tochen miyad if right after you dice something up you eat it, so that would permit the tochen. Just like by borer we allow to separate a mixture of miyad, so too by tochen we're going to let you dice up a mixture if you're going to use the stuff right after that. That's the heter, and that's the shita of the Rashba. However, so we're now going to see that there are a number of mefarshim that potentially argue on the Rashba. First of all, the Shilta Giborim explicitly questions the Rashba. Shilta Giborim is an Achron, but he explicitly questions the Rashba. He's not so happy with carrying over the heter of Miyad from Borer to Tochen. That was the Shita of the Shilta Giborim. And now we're going to show that, interestingly enough, there might be a strong indication that many other Rishonim are also arguing on the Rashba. And this is going to come out of a basic observation of the Beis Yosef. If you look at the Beis Yosef from the Mar Mekomos, so there's something that's a little bit strange in his presentation. First, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba, and the way he typically quotes Rishonim, he just quotes them verbatim. And then after he quotes the Rashba with his whole heter of Tochen Miyad, he doesn't quote any dissenting opinions. But when it comes to the Halach Lamaisa, so he says something that's a little bit of a twist. He says that Halach Lamaisa, if you want to do Tochen and you want to do it in a way that's permissible, like dicing up food, so he says that you can dice up the food as long as you do two things. You have to do it right before you eat. And additionally, he says, don't cut the pieces up into totally small pieces. Make them a little bit bigger than usual. So that's what the Beis Yosef says in terms of Psak Halacha, that you could do Tochen if you do it for immediate use, and you cut it into pieces that are not totally small. So now, what's the significance of that last point, that you're not cutting up into totally small pieces? So the point is that there's the Melech of Tochen only applies, aside from pulverizing, if you cut something up into small pieces. But if you cut something up into large pieces, that's not going to be an issue of Meleches Tochen. But it's extremely unclear what's called small and what's called big. At what point is something small and a violation of Tochen? At what point is it called a big piece that's not a violation of Tochen? That's extremely unclear. The Bir Lach even says that, he already quotes the Urayim, who says that we don't know what's called small and what's called big. So what the Beis Yosef is saying is like this, that when you cut up your food right before you eat it, if you make it into pieces that are a little bit bigger, and not totally small, so then we have two mitigating factors that can permit this activity. First of all, we have the heter of the Rashba. You're doing it for immediate use. But second of all, aside from the heter of the Rashba, we have a second consideration, which is that maybe it's not called small. Maybe you cut it up into pieces that are not together small, letting in tochen. It's very unclear. And so as long as you did it a little bit bigger than usual, let's say, a little bit bigger than what would certainly be small, so now we have a second mitigating factor, which could permit this activity. So that's the Psak Halacha of the Beis Yosef, that he'll be Mater Tochen if you have these two factors in conjunction. And what's strange about the Rashba is the following. Penny, I see your question. Let me just finish the setup. What's strange about the Rashba is the following, about the Beis Yosef is the following. He starts out by quoting the Rashba. He doesn't quote any dissenting opinions. And then when it comes to Psak Halacha, he's not willing to rely alone on the Rashba. He's not just willing to let you pulverize it and then do it for immediate use. He needs to throw in that second condition that you also have to cut it up into pieces that are not totally small. So there's something a little bit strange that he first brings the Rashba, no one argues, and then he doesn't rely on the Rashba. So this is where the Chazon Ish makes a very interesting point in explaining the Beis Yosef. You know, there's always a classic Derech HaLimud issue when you learn a sugya and you have one Rishon make a statement and no one else comments on the sugya in terms of that issue. So what do you assume? Do you assume that all the other Rishonim agree with that one Rishon who spoke up? Or do you assume that the fact that all the other Rishonim were silent, that they're arguing on that Rishon that spoke up? That's like a classic Derech HaLimud issue, and I guess depending on your Derech HaLimud, you'll have Machloksim or whatever you want to do with that. Says the Chazon Ish, that was the issue that was troubling the Beis Yosef, that the Rashba tells us that there's a heter of tochen for immediate use. No one else speaks up on the sugya. None of the other Rishonim, they all discuss the halachas of tochen. No one mentions the heter of miyad. So the Beis Yosef was concerned that the reason that no one mentioned it is because no one holds of it. That all the other Rishonim who are silent are going to argue in the Rashba. They're all going to hold that tochen is not mutter for immediate use. And that's why the Beis Yosef was not willing to rely straight on the Rashba. He was willing to take it into account as a sniff, as an additional consideration. He was not willing to rely straight on the Rashba because he was concerned that all the Rishonim who are just silent on the issue are silent because they're arguing on the Rashba. So with that, we're just setting up the basic shittas here in our first qualification. Our first qualification for tonight is the issue of immediacy. We're pointing out, just like by Borer, we know immediacy is permissible. So the question became, what about Tochen? And we're having a basic machlokas in the Rishonim now, as if Tochen is mutter for immediate use. We have the Rashba spelling out explicitly Tochen is permissible for immediate use. On the other hand, the Shulta Giborim questions that. But aside from finding an Achron, we're now pointing out that we have a whole group of Rishonim who are potentially arguing on the Rashba. The Beis Yosef was concerned that the whole host of Rishonim who were silent because they're arguing on the Rashba. So those are the facts here behind qualification number one. Penny, you had a question? Oh, you want to say something? Okay, so Ravada Yosef would definitely call this a Svek Sveika. That's the way he would learn the stuff. But I don't know if, it's a halachic Svek Sveika, you know? Okay, fine. So the question becomes, so what's the Hesber in this Machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the sheet of the Rashba to apply the Heter of Miyad? And what's the conceptual basis for all the Rishonim who are potentially now arguing on the Rashba, not willing to apply the Heter of Miyad to this situation? So we once discussed this from a certain angle when we did the Malacha of Borer. And now tonight we're gonna fill it in by discussing it from another angle. So we're going to leave out the Shulta Giborim because his personal perspective is based on a certain Shita and Bora, which we're going to leave out. But we're going to analyze it in terms of the Rashba versus now the other Rishonim Lefi the Beis Yosef. So in order to analyze this Machlokas, we first need to just appreciate where the Rashba is coming from. What right do we have to carry over the Heter of Miyad from Bora to Tochen? What's the basic theory behind the Heter of Miyad such that we can carry it over from Bora to Tochen? And once we appreciate where the Rashba is coming from, then we can start taking a step back and figuring out what's the point of contention between the Rashba versus the other Rishonim. So the classic explanation that the Achronim give for the Rashba is as follows, that the Rashba's understanding that the heter to do borer for immediate use is what we once explained is based on the concept of derech achila, that if you separate a mixture and right after you separate it, you eat the stuff that you separated, so that act of borer looks like it's being done in the course of eating. It has the characteristic of being derech achila. And we once explained that takes away from the productivity of that activity. It's lacking in productivity when you do it derech achila. The point of malacha is productivity, but when you do it derech achila, it's more matter of fact. It's more informal. It's just in the course of eating, you're just happen to be doing an act of borer. That takes away from the productivity. That's the basic reason why borer is mutter for immediate use. That's at least what we're going to explain in the Rashba. Therefore, if that's the reason why borer is mutter for immediate use, so it's very reasonable to say that shouldn't be limited to melachos borer, that should apply to other melachos as well. It's true, borer will be mutter for immediate use because that's derech achila, but tochen also. Why can't we apply that to tochen and say that if you grind something up and you eat it immediately after you grind it up, that should also be derech achila. Let that also look like it's being done in the course of eating, and let's permit that based on this same heter of derech achila. So that's the basic, classic explanation that the Achronim give for the Rashba. So now we can turn the table and ask ourselves, what are the other Rishonim hold? The other Rishonim who are arguing on the Rashba, who are now Lefi Beis Yosef, you know, Stimus Rishonim are holding that token is not mutter for me to use. So what are they going to say? So, you know, the simple conclusion is that they're going to hold that we can't carry over the heter of Derech Achila from Borer to Tochin. They're going to agree that Borer is mutter because of Derech Achila, because when you separate it and then you eat it right away, that has the characteristic of Derech Achila. But they're going to hold that we can't carry it over to Tochin. For some reason, Tochin doesn't have the characteristic of Derech Achila. If you grind it up and then you eat it right away, that doesn't look like Derech Achila. That's not going to be permissible. So that's the basic setup now. In terms of the point of contention, we're pointing out that the Rashba is clearly learning the Borer idea is based on Derech Achila. Therefore, he's able to carry that over to Tochein. And the other Rishonim we're going to explain are going to be holding that while Borer is Mutter because it has the characteristic of being Derech Achila, it's in the course of eating, but we can't carry that over to Tochein for some reason. And the question becomes, so what's the Hesber in that Machlokas? Ben, you good? Ben, we good? Okay. Okay, so I'm going to share the way Raparnas analyzed this. I think I've seen Achron also touch on this Nakuda, and it's a very reasonable analysis. Raparnas pointed out that it's very reasonable to explain that this issue is going to come down to the basic Chakira that we had last time concerning the Yesod of Melechas Tochein. So let's go back through that Chakira from last time concerning what's the Yesod of Melechas Tochein. We pointed out that when we talk about the productive quality in Tochein of grinding something up, so there are two basic possibilities that could be taken for how to understand what's the real productivity in this situation. One possibility we explain is that the sort of tochen is what we called deconstruction. Tochen is about taking something and breaking it down into small pieces. There could be something very productive about breaking something down into small pieces. Sometimes when something is whole, it's not so usable, it's not so accessible. When you break it down into small pieces, it now becomes usable, it now becomes much more available. And so that's one simple approach that could be taken for how to understand what's the yesod of Melechas Tochein. It's a concept of deconstruction, breaking something down for some productive purpose. However, we pointed out last time, based on the Ragged Shavar, that there's another approach that could be taken to Melechas Tochein, and that is to explain that it's really yesod of conversion, that Tochein is about taking a certain whole entity and converting it into a different, more refined entity. Like the paradigm of Tochein, the Av of Tochein is if you grind up grain into flour. So flour is, as Ragged Shavar pointed out, is a conceptually different entity than grain. They're considered to be two different entities. And so the Yesod of Tochein can be one of conversion, where you're taking one entity and you're converting it into a different, more refined entity. That was last time's Chakira about the Yesod of Tochein, is a concept of deconstruction, is a concept of conversion. So Raparnas pointed out that it's very reasonable to connect this issue into that Chakira, and Achronim do point this out in their own ways of expressing things. Let's plug it in backwards. It's easier to understand if you plug it in backwards. Let's start with the second side in the Chakira. If you go with the second side in the Chakira, if we explain that the Yesod of Tochein is about conversion, it's about taking a certain entity and transforming it into a different, more refined entity, then it's extremely difficult to apply the heter of Derech Achila. Because the whole Yesod of Derech Achila is that Your activity takes on the characteristic of being informal, of being matter of fact. Informally, you're casually, you know, in the course of eating, doing a malacha. That's the yisod of Derech Achila. But if you're engaged in an activity of creating a new entity, of conversion, it's very hard to view that as being a matter of fact activity. And the best mashal to bring out this point is the malacha of Bishul. Even if we say that there's a heter of Derech Achila, no one would say that Bishul is mutter miyad. No one would say that you can cook something and eat it right away. That's clearly a given that Bishul is not mutter miyad. But why? Borer is mutter miyad. Why wouldn't Bishul be mutter miyad? Why can't we say Bishul is Derech Achila? The answer is because in Bishul, you're doing such a big process. You're creating this food. You're transforming it from raw material into food. We can't view that as Derech Achila. There's just too much stuff going on to view that as Derech Achila. That's called Hachana L'Achila. That's called preparation for Achila. But we can't view that as Derech Achila. And so it's the same thing with Tochein. If we could view it as a concept of conversion, if we're viewing it as creating a new entity, there's too much stuff going on, there's too much creativity going on to view that as a matter-of-fact activity. And so that was Raparnas' point, that he pointed out that if you go with the conversion idea, it's very difficult to apply the heter of Derech Achila to this situation. Just like by Bishul, no one would suggest that you would apply the heter of Derech Achila. In contrast to that, if we move back to the first side in the Chakira, so now things are different. If you go with the first side in the Chakira, Tochein is about deconstruction. It's about taking something and breaking it down. Yes, it's a very productive activity, but you're not creating a brand new entity. You're just breaking it down. You're making something more usable. So then that already is a much more basic type of activity. That's much more shayach to be viewed as a matter of fact activity. It's much more shayach to apply the heter of derech achila. And so working with the first tzad in the chakira, if it's about deconstruction, so then it's much more reasonable to apply the heter of derech achila. And it does happen to be that if you look at the Rashba inside, and if you compare the Rashba's various points to what we discussed last time, everything does line up l'shita. So the Rashba's points are in line with our analysis from last week for the shita of deconstruction. So that was the basic hesber that Reparnas presented in this machlokus. It's a little bit subtle, but I think it's pretty reasonable, pointing out that it's much harder to apply the heter of derech achila if you go with conversion. It's much more reasonable if you go with the tzad of deconstruction. Ben. Right. No, so Rabbi Chananel says that it's lacking in Malachas Machshavas, that the Yisod of Yisra Malachas is productivity. So if you do it matter-of-factly, it takes away from the productive effect of what you're doing. It's almost like you're not doing it as an ends, but more as a means. You're just doing it a more of a matter-of-fact type of informal activity, so it takes away from the productive character of what you're doing. That's, Rabbi Chananel says it's lacking in Malachas Machshavas. So yes, he asked that last time. Yes, and it's apparently mutter. Correct. Any other pen? Are we good? Okay, fine. Ari, we good? Yeah? Okay, fine. So that was all qualification number one. So let's move over now to our second qualification, to Malachas Tochen. Fine. So the second qualification to Malachas Tochen begins with the Gemara on Kuf Mem Aleph Omen Aleph. The Gemara in Kuf Mem Aleph Omen Aleph brings Rabbi Huda and Rava, who tell us the following din. They point out that it is mutter to crush peppers on Shabbos with the back of a knife. If you want to use the back of a knife to crush peppers, so that is mutter on Shabbos. Now, crushing peppers would fit under Malachas Tochen, but the Gemara is telling us that this is mutter. So we're seeing now a new qualification to Tochen, that if you do it in unorthodox manner, if you deviate from a normal way of doing it, if you do it b'derech shinoi, so that is apparently permissible. In this case, what's the significance? The significance of using the back of a knife, that would represent the shinoi. You're doing it in an unorthodox manner, and that's why this activity is permissible. And so we're seeing now our second qualification to tochen is if you implement the shinoi, tochen becomes permissible. Okay. Comes along the Shibole Haleket, which from the Mar Makomos, and he raises a basic question on this heter, which is going to force us to clarify and refine when exactly we can apply this heter. The Shibole Haleket asks, and Ben, this is right up your alley, this type of question. The Shibole Haleket asks that, you know, typically speaking, if you do a malacha, b'derech shinoi, so while that will knock down the malacha from being a deraisa, but it will still be aser derabanan. The rule of thumb typically with malacha is that if you do it in a manner of shinoi, so it'll knock off the deraisa, but it'll still be aser derabanan. And the Shibole Haleket asks, so how come the Gemara here is telling us that it's totally mutter to crush up the peppers with the back of a knife when enachanami may be a shinoi, maybe it won't be deraisa, but let's still be aser derabanan, as is typically the case when you do a malacha in a manner of shinoi. That's the kasha of the Shibole Haleket. So we're going to have two basic approaches in Rishonim for how to answer up this kasha. There's the approach of the Shibole Haleket himself, and there's the approach of the Rambam. And there's an interesting contemporary nafkamina in this machlokas. So starting with the shita of the Shibole Haleket. So the Shibole Haleket says, quite simply, that the reason that this case of crushing the peppers with the back of a knife is going to be mutter and not asher derabanan is because this is going to be a shinoi gamar, that this is going to be an intense deviation. That when do we say a shinoi is typically aser derabanan? If you do a moderate, regular shinoi, if you do a moderate, plain old shinoi, so then that'll knock off the deraisa, but it'll still be aser derabanan. But in this case, says the Shibole Haleket, that apparently crushing peppers with the back of a knife is an intense shinoi, it's a very big shinoi, it's a shinoi gomer, and therefore that'll be totally mutter. So that's the Shibole Haleket's answer to his own question. Fine. However, the Prima Gadam points out that the Rambam, as understood by some Achronim, has a different approach to this issue, which is going to give a different solution. If you saw the Rambam from the Mar Makomos, so when the Rambam brings down this Gemara, this heter to crush peppers with the back of a knife, So he adds an extra detail. Rambam says that it's mutter to crush peppers with the back of a knife and a plate. That's what the Rambam says. You can crush peppers with the back of a knife and a plate. And the way that Beis Yosef interpreted the Rambam, he understood that the Rambam was saying that there are actually two conditions that you need to meet in order to permit this activity of tochen. And those two conditions are two separate shinoyim. You need to implement two separate shinoyim. First of all, you have to use the back of a knife. That is one shinoy, which the Gemara itself spelled out. But then the Rambam wasn't satisfied with a single shinoy. The Rambam wants a second shinoy. The Beis Yosef is saying you need a second shinoy to crush the peppers onto a plate. Because the typical utensil in which you would crush peppers, at least back in the day, was apparently a mortar. A mortar was the typical utensil that you crush peppers into. And so by crushing it onto a plate, that's considered to be a second shinoy. And so the Rambam is saying that if you implement two shinoyim, that's going to be permissible. So that was the Rambam's interpretation of this Gemara. The Gemara didn't spell out the need for a plate, but the Rambam apparently understood they need a double shinoy, both the back of a knife, as well as a plate with the double shinoy together, that's going to be permissible. And the Prima Gadin spells out that based on this Beis Yosef interpretation of the Rambam, so now we have another answer to the kasha of the Shiboleh Aleket. The Shiboleh Aleket was asking, well, how come it's totally mutter in this case to use the back of a knife, albeit it's a shinoy, but a shinoy is typically usher derabanan. So the Prima Gadin spells out that according to this way of learning the Rambam, if you need a double shinoy, so then that answers the question, because it's true, a single shinoy will only knock it down from a deraisa to a derabanan. But by having a double shinoy, so that'll permit it. One shinoy knocks it down to a derabanan. A second shinoy then knocks it down to being totally permissible. And so that's how the Rambam would be answering the kasha of the Shiboleh Aleket. So those are the basic primary sources on the second issue, the second qualification in terms of the heter of using a shinoy. The Gemara told us that there's some kind of heter of a shinoy by using the back of a knife. And we're having a machlokes, we've shown him how to understand when exactly this heter kicks in. We have the Shiboleh Aleket saying this only if at least his interpretation of the case in the Gemara is where you're doing a shinoy gomer, and this single shinoy gomer is permissible. Whereas the Rambam is understanding that it's actually a double shinoy, and it's the double shinoy of the back of a knife plus a plate, which is permitting this form of tochen. Penny, you had a question? That's an interesting question. You're saying like maybe we should view it as one big shinoy because I hear, you know, like you use your left hand and your right hand in some, you know, some weird ways. That's one big shinoy. So why not call this one big shinoy? Okay, that's an interesting point. I haven't seen that addressed, but okay. But this is how the Beis Yosef interprets it. There are other Rachamim that argue maybe your point is behind their issue with the Beis Yosef. Okay. Now, there's an interesting contemporary nafkamina that comes out of this machlokas. So let's spell that out right now. As we discussed last time, so there's a machlokas of poskim as to if mashing a banana is subject to melechas tochim. The Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe argue on this issue. The Chazon Ish was of the opinion that mashing a banana would be subject to tochim. You're taking a whole item, you're mushing it up, and that also meets the characteristics of melechas tochim. However, that Rav Moshe argued, Rav Moshe said that no, that mashing a banana bi'ikar din is not called tochen, it's still one big cohesive mass. Tochen needs separate particles, and therefore Moshe felt that mashing a banana bi'ikar din should not be melechas tochen. Now, we're going to zero in on the shita of the Chazon Ish. Working with the shita of the Chazon Ish, that mashing a banana is an issue of tochen, because at the end of the day, you're mushing it up and converting it from this big single, you know, whole unit to this mushed up mass is also subject to tochen. So the question becomes, so how can we permit mashing up a banana on Shabbos if a person needs to mash up a banana for a child and he wants to be makbid for the chumrah of the Chazon Ish? So what would be a permissible method to mash it up? So the Chazon Ish himself tells us that you can, you know, although you can't do tochen in this case in a normal manner, you can't mash it up in a normal manner, but no problem, just do it with a shinoy. Mash it up with the back of a knife, mash it up with the back of a fork, and that would be a permissible manner of mashing the banana. Now, Chazon Ish emphasizes that it'll be just as good for the child. It'll just be a lot more effort, but the end result will be just as useful for the child. And so this will be a permissible method of mashing up a banana if you want to be makbid for the chumrah of the Chazon Ish. However, interestingly enough, Rav Moshe, in the world of the Chazon Ish, argues on the Chazon Ish. Rav Moshe himself, Meikar Din, held mashing banana should be permissible. But in the world of the Chazon Ish, assuming that mashing banana would be subject to tochen, Rav Moshe argues on the Chazon Ish, and he says that using the back of a knife should not work. Rav Moshe says, Sarachi and Katan on the Chazon Ish. Why is the Chazon Ish being matir using the back of a knife to mash a banana? When, says Rav Moshe, it should be Asur Derabanan. It's very nice that you're doing a shinoy. Very nice, you're implementing a shinoi, you're doing it in a backhanded manner, but a shinoi is still aser derabanan. So Moshe says, Sarachi in Katan, why the Chazon Ish in his own world was allowing you to mash a banana with the back of a knife, why is it not aser derabanan? So we have an interesting machlokas now within the world of Chazon Ish. If you want to be makbir for the Chum of the Chazon Ish, not to bash a banana in a normal way, would it be okay to use the back of a knife? Chazon Ish himself says yes. Ramosha says, Sarachi in Katan, why that is, he feels that it should be aser derabanan. And the question becomes, what's the point of contention in this machlokas? Yeah, Mordechai.
There's a famous great Talmud that talks about the difference between a shinoi.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was mom was thinking about Eglay Talmud. I saw this Chazon Ish. It's so interesting. Emphasizes it.
His action is it's in the nifal. He says it's not even a ma'isa b'chlal. It's not. It's not usher. It's like someone. He also talks about the by writing a get with the left hand.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's okay. That's a geshmak analysis. I didn't want to bring that in because I thought it was beyond the purview of Malachas Tochin. But that's excellent analysis. Yeah, I'm going to say something just a little more conservative, but that's a very nice point. Yeah, Mordechai is pointing out that there's a big issue when it comes to applying the heter of shinoi. Now, what if you do something in a weird way, but the effect is just as good? Like, let's say you flip on a light with your elbow. So you did it in a weird way, but the effect is just as good. The light went on. There's no the effect of what you did was just as effective as if you used your finger. You just did it in a weird way. So there's a big discussion about that issue. So that's a very interesting point. But okay, I'm just going to present the way the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa analyzes this machlokas, though. The Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, in the parak where he discusses Malachas Tochin, in one of the footnotes there, says that this machlokas between the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe should be connected to the machlokas between the Shpuei Leket versus the Rambam. So this is how he analyzes this machlokas. So he says like this, starting with the Shita of the Shpuei Leket. So again, we had a machlokas, how do we understand the basic halacha of Shinoi when it comes to Malachas Tochin? So starting with the Shita of the Shpuei Leket had said that the heter of Shinoi is... we're willing to permit a single shinoi if it's a shinoi gomer, as long as you do an extreme deviation. So that will permit malachas tochen. That was the shita of the Shpuei Leket. Says the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa that working with the shita of the Shpuei Leket, so we can now simply explain the Chazon Ish. We can answer up Rav Moshe's kasha. The Chazon Ish will simply hold that the metzias is that using the back of a knife to mash a banana is going to be an extreme deviation. That's considered to be a shinoi gomer. And although, albeit it's a single shinoi, but a shinoi gomer is permissible according to the Shpuei Leket, and that's going to be the shita of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is going to be paskening that a single shinoi is permissible as long as you do a shinoi gomer. However, the Shmir Shabbos indicates that if you go with the shita of the Rambam, so now there's going to be an issue, because the Rambam was not willing to apply a single shinoi when it comes to Malachas Tochen. He was not willing to use a single shinoi. The Rambam needed a double shinoi. And so working with the shita of the Rambam, so this heter of the Chazon Ish will be much more problematic, because as opposed to peppers, where apparently it was normal to mash peppers in a receptacle, and so when you mash peppers on a plate, you have a double shinoi, you have the back of a knife, and you also have the second shinoi of the fact that you're doing it on a plate. But when it comes to a banana, you don't have the second shinoi. You have a single shinoi that you're using the back of a knife. But I don't, you know, I think nowadays anyone would mash a banana on a plate or in a bowl, you know, whatever context you're doing it in. Like maybe if you're doing it straight on your counter, maybe that'd be weird. But assuming you're mashing the banana onto a plate or something like that, so you only have a single shinoi in this situation. And so the Shmir Shabbos points out that if we assume like the Rambam that you need a double shinoi, well then this heter the Chazon Ish is going to be much more problematic. And so that would be a way of explaining Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe doesn't really spell out what his issue was, but this would be one interpretation of Rav Moshe, that he was understanding that in the Chazon Ish's case, there should be an Issur Derabanan. The only reason it's motor by the peppers is because you have a double shinoi. So that would be an interesting nafkamina lahalacha that comes out of this machlokas, Shpuei Leket versus the Rambam, in terms of this issue of mashing banana with the back of a spoon, with the back of a knife, where the point is that it's a single shinoi, perhaps a shinoi gomer, but it's only one shinoi, and so according to the Shpuei Leket, that could be permissible, which is the Chazon Ish Shita. Whereas according to the Rambam, if you need a double shinoi to permit tochen, so then you don't have a double shinoi in this situation, and then that's going to be an issue, which could be that was Ramosha's issue with the Chazon Ish. Any questions? Mordechai, your analysis is much more geschmack, but this is like this is safer. We good? Okay, fine. Okay, now we come to our third and final qualification to Melechas Tochen. Okay, and with this we'll admit some finished Melechas Tochen, and the next week we'll be up to Lush. Okay, so the next qualification starts with the Hagos Maimonios from the Mar Mekomos. The Hagos Maimonios brings the Rashbam, who stated the following heter. Rashbam says that it is permissible to crumble up bread on Shabbos. It's mutter to crumble up bread on Shabbos. Why is it mutter to crumble up bread on Shabbos? Why is that not an issue of tochen? You're taking this bread, you're breaking it down into small pieces. Says the Rashbam, because there's a new rule of ein tochen achar tochen, that since this bread was already subjected to tochen one time when you ground up the grain into flour, therefore when you then reconstitute it into bread and grind it up a second time, that's going to be mutter, because ein tochen achar tochen. That is the new heter that we're now having from the Rashbam. And the big question becomes, how do we understand what's the nature of this heter? Why is it mutter to grind it up just because it was ground up one time before? So what's the logic behind why it should not be subject to tochen a second time? L'maisa, I'm grinding it up again. Why is it not a problem? What's the logic behind this new heter of ein tochen achar tochen? That's the issue that I need to discuss to round out today's sugya and this malacha. So there's a machlokas aposkim, or a machlokas achronim, on this issue, how to understand and how to interpret this new heter of ein tochen achar tochen. This is a machlokas between the Gra versus the Chazon Ish. So let's start with the shita of the Gra. The Gra is in the Be'er HaGra, in Or HaChaim, in Simen Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Yud Beis. So in very, very few words, Kedarko HaKodesh, Kedarko B'Kodesh, so he gives us his interpretation of ein tochen achar tochen. The Gra says that the heter of ein tochen achar tochen is really not a unique heter by tochen. It's a heter by all malachas. By all malachas, there's a heter of ein malacha achar malacha. That whenever you apply a malacha to a certain substance, if you then apply the very same malacha to the very same substance, that is not typically a problem of that. That's typically not going to be a problem. It's not typically going to violate the Isra malacha. There's a general principle of ein malacha achar malacha, and so tochen is just an expression of that general principle. That if you did tochen one time, there's not going to be an issue of tochen if you do it a second time. What's the logic behind this heter? Why should there be a rule of ein malacha achar malacha? Why is it going to be permissible? So this again is going to come down to the yisod of the isra malacha of productivity. As we keep emphasizing, the yisod of isra malacha is productivity. The yisod of each malacha, what makes them a problem, is a productive effect. And so the point's going to be that whenever you apply a certain malacha to a certain substance, that's going to have a certain productive effect. If I grind up my grain and make it into flour, so I just caused a certain productive effect of grinding it up. If you then do the very same malacha to the very same substance, so there's something lacking in the productivity, because you already caused that same productive effect. I already did the productive effect of grinding it up. When you do it a second time, there's a certain lack. It takes off the edge of that second productive effect, and that's why it's not going to be a problem. And so that's the Gra's understanding of why tochen achar tochen is permissible, based on a generally assumed that in malacha achar malacha, that whenever you do malacha one time, so that already caused the productive effect. When you do it a second time, it's lacking in the productivity. You did it already to the substance, and that's why malacha in general is mutter in this situation, and why tochen is no exception to the rule. That's how the Gra interpreted this heter of the Rashbam. We good? Yeah? Okay. Fine. However, so the Chazon Ish argues on the Gra. The Chazon Ish has a different interpretation of the heter of ein tochen achar tochen. The Chazon Ish seems to understand that, you know, this lumdus that the Gra just presented is not so applicable to Melechas Tochen. Listen, it's true. When I had the grain and I ground it up into flour, so I caused a certain productive effect. But when I reconstitute it into bread, so panim chadashas ba'alakan, I just made a new entity called bread. When I grind it up again, so it's a very productive activity. I just did something extremely productive. I ground it up. That can be very useful if you want to put it into your soup, or for whatever reason you want to grind it up for. You want to feed it to some birds. And so therefore, the Chazon Ish is not happy with the Gra's application of ein malacha achar malacha to this situation. The Chazon Ish thinks that this is not based on any general comparison to other malachas where this may be the case. What then is the explanation for Ein Tochen Acher Tochen? Why is it mutter to crumble up the bread, according to the Chazon Ish? So the Chazon Ish says like this. He says that really the heter of Ein Tochen Acher Tochen is not to be interpreted literally as Ein Tochen Acher Tochen. That's not the real heter in this situation. What's the heter? It says the Chazon Ish, it's coming from a limitation to the definition of Melechus Tochen. That Melechus Tochen only applies when you break down a natural entity. When you have an entity that's naturally whole and you break it down, that's an issue of Melechus Tochen. If you have your grain kernels, which are naturally whole, they were harvested and now you have these natural kernels and you grind it up into flour, so that's an issue of Melechus Tochen. But if you have an artificial entity, if you have an entity that really comes from separate particles, that due to the intervention of man was reconstituted, and you now have a man-made chibur, a man-made entity, Melechus Tochen doesn't apply to such an entity. Melechus Tochen only applies to a natural entity, not to a man-made entity. And so therefore, when it comes to bread, so bread, since it comes from flour, which is reconstituted by man, bread is not naturally whole. You have the grain, you ground it up into flour. Man then intervened and reconstituted the flour into bread. That's not called Melechus Tochen, because Melechus Tochen only applies to a natural entity. That's what the Chazon Ish interprets the heter of Ein Tochen Acher Tochen, because he's not happy with the Gra's application. The Chazon Ish thinks that grinding up flour is plenty productive, and therefore he has to come up with this new interpretation of Ein Tochen Acher Tochen. Ben, you have a question? No. The Rishon says the word Ein Tochen Acher Tochen. The Chazon Ish is interpreting that as he's not taking it literally. What it means is that typically, if you do Tochen one time and you do Tochen a second time, typically in the middle you will have reconstituted it. How are you grinding it up twice? You ground it up, you put it back together, and then you ground it up again. So typically, when you have two Tochens, the second one will be mutter because it's operating on an artificial entity. You ground it up, you reconstitute it. Now it's artificial, and now you're grinding it up again. So Ein Tochen Acher Tochen just means to refer to the fact that a second token is typically operating on an artificial entity, and therefore Ein Tochen Acher Tochen, because once it was reconstituted, it's no longer subject to Melechus Tochen. That is how the Chazon Ish is interpreting this principle. And the truth is that, you're right, the Lashon is more mashma like the Gra, and that's where the Chazon Ish has to start out on the defense. He starts out trying to argue on the Gra. He doesn't quote the Gra by name, but he says that we can't explain it in a typical manner because he thinks that this is very productive. Yeah. He does, based on Tosefta. There's a machlokas how to read that Tosefta. It's not clear that the Tosefta, according to many Achronim, is not actually talking about Tochen. The Tosefta is saying, Ein Bishel Acher Bishel, Ein Disha Acher Disha. And the Gra says, so too Tochen. That's what the Gra says. Just like that Tosefta applied it to Ein Bishel Acher Bishel, Ein Disha Acher Disha, so too Tochen. The Chazon Ish will say, no, not so too Tochen. Tochen's different. Okay, so we have a basic machlokas aposkim now. What's the interpretation of Ein Tochen Acher Tochen, like the Gra, Ein Melacha Acher Melacha, like the Chazon Ish, that Tochen only applies to a natural entity, not to an artificial entity. Now, there happen to be a number of nafkaminas in this machlokas. We're just going to end with one simple nafkamina, which the Chazon Ish himself points out. The Chazon Ish gives the following nafkamina. Let's say you have some substance that came into effect, came into being, as separate particles. I don't know the exact metzias, but let's say there's some sand that's been there since Sheshes Mibereshes, some kind of substance that came into being as separate particles. And then let's say a person came along and put together these particles and made some type of unitary entity, and then you grind it up. So the question becomes, would that be an issue of Melechus Tochen? You have sand, person puts it together and makes some kind of entity out of the sand, and then he grinds it up. So would that be an issue of Melechus Tochen? So that's going to be an afkamina in this machlokas. Starting with the shita of the Gra. So the Gra says, what's the heter of Ein Tochen Acher Tochen? Ein Melacha Acher Melacha. If you do Tochen one time, you do Tochen a second time, so then the second time doesn't have the same productive effect. It's perfectly permissible. Well, that's all nice if you do Tochen two times, but in this case, there was no previous Tochen. We're setting up a metzias where this sand was always there. It came to being as separate particles, and so when you then put it together and grind it up, that act of grinding is your first initial act of grinding it up. That is your first act of grinding. That would be a problem of Melechus Tochen. And so according to the Gra, there would be a problem of tochen in this type of situation. Moving over to the shita of the Chazon Ish, though, so things come out differently. Because what was the Chazon Ish's shita? That ain't tochen acher tochen doesn't mean ain't tochen acher tochen. You could have a tochen acher tochen. That wasn't his point. The point was that tochen doesn't apply to an artificial entity, it only applies to a natural entity. So work with that understanding, says the Chazon Ish, things are going to come out differently in this situation. Because it's true. In this case, there was no prior techina that took place. This sand, let's say, came into being naturally as separate particles. But lemaisa, when the person put it together, that's not naturally whole. It's artificially whole. It's a man-made intervention. It's a man-made chibur. And so when you then grind it up, you're grinding up an artificial entity. Although this is your first act of tochen, it's still perfectly permissible because, according to the Chazon Ish, ein tochen acher tochen just means that tochen only applies to a natural entity. Tochen does not apply to an artificial entity. So with that, we've concluded this third qualification, we've concluded tonight's shir, and we've concluded Melechas Tochen. So let's just do a quick 60-second synopsis, and then Mitzvah Shem next week will be up to Melechas Lush. So we had three qualifications tonight to Melechas Tochen. Our first qualification was the Heter of Miad, the Machlokas Rashba versus Adam Mepharshim, whether there's a Heter of Miad by Tochen. We pointed out through the Beis Yosef that the Beis Yosef wasn't willing to rely on the Rashba, which the Chazon Ish says is because the Beis Yosef was concerned that all the other Rishonim argued on the Rashba. And Reparnas pointed out that it's very reasonable to connect that first Machlokas to the Chakira about deconstruction versus conversion. If it's a conversion idea, it's very hard to view that as a matter of fact. There's too much productivity going on as opposed to deconstruction. The second qualification we had was the Heter of Shinoi. Gemara had said that you can crush the peppers with the back of a knife. We had a Machlokas Shibo Leket versus the Rambam as to how to apply that Heter. The Shibo Leket said that it's a single Shinoi, but a Shinoi Gomer. The Rambam had said that it's a double Shinoi of the back of the knife with the plate. We pointed out a contemporary nafkamina, which was mashing the banana with the back of a knife, because that's a single Shinoi, but it could be argued that that's a Shinoi Gomer. And so the Chazon Ish said it was mutter, whereas Rav Moshe said that in the world of the Chazon Ish, that should be a problem. And then our third qualification tonight was the Heter of Ein Tochen Acher Tochen. You can crumble up bread or cookies, etc., baked goods, because of Ein Tochen Acher Tochen. Machlok is a poskim, what's the pshat? The Beir Gros said because Ein Melacha Acher Melacha, it's lacking in the productivity. Whereas according to the Chazon Ish, it was because there's a new Heter that Tochen only applies to a natural entity, not to an artificial entity. And the nafkamina was, if you have something that's naturally came into being as separate particles and you put it together, you grind it up, it's your first time grinding it up, so would that be an issue of Tochen or not? So thank you very much for joining us tonight. And Mirz Hashem, next week we'll be up to Melechas Lash. We're almost ready for Bishul, which is the big one. Okay, Shkayach.